The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, September 23rd, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us here, and big thanks to our newest prime sponsor, Lush LED Lighting. I want you to check them out at lushledlighting.com. I know when LEDs first came out, they weren't all that, but now the technology from Lush LED Lighting is really kicking ass. They're growing some fantastic buds with this stuff, so make sure you check that out. We'll have all sorts of new stuff, new commercials coming next week on the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio. We're debuting our October lineup. All sorts of our friends' shows will be back. We'll have a different view with Jen and Iva with a new panel layout format. That's going to be pretty cool. The Viper Hour will be back. We'll talk to Brian the Red about getting the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback as well as Canna Truth back in Texas. Going to be back on the air after taking a hiatus. So all that plus a whole bunch of other shows. Cannabis Network Radio out of Florida. Lots of people to add. We've got new music editors, including Electric Bob, who'll be bringing us a tune next week in his debut for Electric Tuesday. So all sorts of new things coming up on the Russ Belville Show and 420radio.org. Remember, we are listener-supported cannabis community radio, so head to 420radio.org, click on the donate button at the top, and you can become a VIP supporting member with a small monthly donation that will help us pay the bills. We've also got stuff for sale in our 420 Radio store. Click on shop on the 420 Radio page, and you can check out our poster, our handy little pins, very designer bling pins here. You want to get yourself one of those. We've also got the 420 Radio pins and posters and stickers galore. So we've sent out some orders over the weekend, and we got some more orders coming in. We'll get to those every weekend. Now, coming up on today's show, Dr. Mitch is back. Our live cannabis Q&A segment with Dr. Mitch Earlywine from the Ask Dr. Mitch column in High Times Magazine. He's also the author of numerous books on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. We're also going to go in behind the headlines talking about taxing and regulating marijuana and the fight among some against marijuana taxes, even as they promise taxation through the regulation and legalization of marijuana. At the end, we've got a radical rant. I'll tell you why marijuana is a civil rights issue, maybe the civil rights issue in America today. And for Roots Monday, we got some Louis Armstrong and maybe even a visit from Freddie Farrakh. Stay tuned. Voice of the marijuana nation.
You can still be hip and not do drugs.
America, are we running scared? There's a drug problem. It's got to be clear. It's a war we're fighting across our land. It's here right now, so let's take a stand with the LA Lakers. And we're here to say that the drugs are killing everybody.
team. I don't need drugs, I got a higher thing. My sky hook makes a team look good, but there's a hook we gotta shake from the neighborhood.
You call me Smrek, I give my team my best. When you really care, you can do no less. But the game of life's more serious, cause drugs make losers of all of us.
They call me Superman and I'm known to give a helping hand. Now there's a rival out there on the streets. We all got to work together to be.
The winning point is what I'm passing to you. Be like us and make the right move. Say no.
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 Say no. No.
We dribble, shoot, and slam dunk. You can win too without that jump.
My name is Patty, coach of the team. They say my plays really do the thing. So I'm here to tell you the best play of all. Say no to drugs because life is a ball.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. No detectable association between frequency of marijuana use and healthcare usage from medicalexpress.com. Researchers from Boston Medical Center and Boston University School of Medicine have found frequency of marijuana use was not significantly associated with health services utilization or health status. These findings currently appear online in the Journal of General Internal Medicine. The researchers studied 589 adults who screened positive for drug use at a primary care visit. Those patients were asked about their drug use, their emergency room use and hospitalizations, and their overall health status. In addition, information about other medical diagnoses was obtained from their medical records. They found the vast majority of the study sample, 84%, used marijuana. They also found no differences between daily marijuana users and those using no marijuana in their use of the emergency room, in hospitalizations, medical diagnoses, or their health status. Half ounce of pot gets Louisiana man 20 years in prison, from dissidentvoice.org. While Colorado and Washington have decriminalized recreational use of marijuana and 20 states allow for its use for medical purposes, a Louisiana man was sentenced to 20 years in prison in New Orleans criminal court for possessing 15 grams, 0.529 of an ounce of marijuana. Corey Ladd, age 27, had prior drug convictions and was sentenced September 4th as a multiple offender to 20 years hard labor at the Department of Corrections. Louisiana arrests about 13,000 people per year for marijuana. While Louisiana's population is 32% black, 60% of arrests for marijuana are African American. In Louisiana, a person can get up to 6 months in jail for the first marijuana conviction, up to 5 years in prison for the second conviction, and up to 20 years in prison for the third. In fact, the Louisiana Supreme Court recently overturned a sentence of 5 years as too lenient for a fourth possession of marijuana and ordered the person sentenced to at least 13 years. An undercover sting operation nabbed an Atlanta area sheriff's deputy who was selling marijuana out of his patrol car and in uniform, federal authorities say, reports WPTV.com. Newton County Deputy Daryl Mathis was freed on bond after his arrest last week, the FBI said. Mathis had been charged with possession of marijuana with intent to distribute and carrying a firearm during a drug offense, a charge that could bring a possible life sentence if convicted. He did not immediately return messages seeking comment Sunday. The complaint states that Mathis told the informant he wasn't concerned about getting caught because of his safe driving and police credentials. Mathis boasted, "I do my little 10 to 15 pounds a week," the arrest affidavit states. Federal agents found a pound of pot on Mathis when he was arrested last week, the FBI said. 22 medical marijuana applicants weeded out by Massachusetts Department of Public Health, from MassLive.com. A total of 22 applicants for medical marijuana dispensaries were eliminated on Monday from competition by the state's Department of Public Health. The process now leaves 158 applicants for dispensary licenses for medical marijuana. In a stiff financial hurdle, applicants needed to demonstrate they have at least $500,000 in liquid capital assets to pass the first phase. Applicants are competing for as many as 35 dispensary licenses the state can issue under a ballot law for medical marijuana approved in November. If applicants pass muster on the first phase, they are clear to proceed to a second phase, which requires a $30,000 application fee. Free pot, Boulder marijuana giveaway set Monday on Pearl from dailycamera.com. Organizers are billing the giveaway as both a campaign event and flood relief, giving joints to medical marijuana patients and stressed out recreational users who may have lost their stashes in the flooding. Flood relief donations also will be accepted at the event. Rob Corey, who helped organize the event and hopes to defeat Proposition AA, a statewide pot tax measure, said, quote, "Boulder has been victimized by floods. We want to bring some flood relief to folks," end quote. Proposition AA is a statewide ballot question that will ask voters in November to approve a 15% excise tax and an initial 10% sales tax that could be raised up to 15%. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 23rd, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines on the Boulder marijuana giveaway to take a look at the results of the taxation if it were to pass, the promises from campaigners on what would happen if marijuana legalization were to pass, and how that might just be a bait and switch that we need to avoid. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
The beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
We are the champions. We are the champions.
No time. Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines, and I wanted to comment on that last story we covered on the free joint giveaway in Boulder. And this follows up on a free joint giveaway they did in Denver as well. And the idea was to fight against Proposition AA. Now, let me give the details on this Proposition AA. It's a statewide ballot question. Again, this is from the Boulder Daily Camera. It's a statewide ballot question that will ask voters in November to approve a 15% excise tax and an initial 10% sales tax that could be raised up to 15%. That would be in addition to the existing sales taxes. Researchers believe the state could see as much as $130 million of tax revenues annually from retail sales. The first $40 million collected will go to school construction. The rest will be split between local governments and the state general fund, for enforcement and regulation. Okay, so this is kind of a situation that's unique to Colorado. Maybe some other states have regulations like this. But in Colorado, if you go and put an initiative on the ballot, you can't put the taxes in that initiative. Taxes have to be voted on as a separate thing in Colorado. They got some amendment called Tabor that's a taxpayer's rights thing. So during the whole regulate marijuana like alcohol campaign, the Amendment 64 in Colorado, we had people that were saying we need to tax and regulate marijuana. We need to tax and regulate marijuana. Let me give you a quote here. This is from a piece that was written before the election. If marijuana were legalized and taxed, violent drug cartels would lose their principal source of their income. Marijuana ought to be treated like a more dangerous substance, alcohol, available at the corner liquor store and taxed and regulated. So proponents of Amendment 64, proponents of marijuana legalization, went to the 7 out of 8 voters who don't smoke pot at all and said, look, we should tax this product. It should be taxed, with the implicit assumption there being that the taxation helps the society rather than benefiting a violent drug cartel. Now, who was the author of that quote? Why, none other than Robert Corey. He, writing in Huffington Post in a piece called Marijuana Must Be Legalized back in 2012, fighting for Amendment 64 to get passed, kept saying legalized and taxed, tax and regulate. Now, Robert Corey is the guy behind these AA protests, handing out free joints in Boulder and free joints in Denver, saying, fight these taxes, don't vote for these taxes. Now, to give him his due, he's saying that if we're going to say regulate marijuana like alcohol, it should be like alcohol, not greater than alcohol. And I think that's a fair point. I think that my personal definition of legalization and the rights I'm fighting for are that I should be treated no differently than a beer drinker, right? If a beer drinker can brew his own beer at home, I should be able to grow my own plants at home. If a beer drinker can buy as much beer as he wants, I should be able to buy as much weed as I want, etc., right? But I think that might be a nuance that plays well within our community, that we understand that, yeah, we support taxation in general, but not over taxation. But my fear is, amongst the mainstream, this nuance will be lost. And they will just see, wait a minute, weren't you the guys that were fighting for marijuana to be legal and saying if we taxed it, we could help schools? And now you're fighting against the taxes that would help schools? Now, when this came through in the Denver story, I kind of, played the news on it, reported the news on it and just kind of let it go, because it's kind of, a libertarian issue. And I don't want to take this show into being libertarian or liberal or conservative, because I think marijuana is a bigger issue than that. But I think Corey's reaction here is a form of knee-jerk libertarianism. Ooh, taxes bad. Must fight taxes. And in the context of what's going on in Boulder, I worry also about the optics of this. For Corey to be saying Boulder has been victimized by floods, we want to bring some flood relief to folks, and the Boulder Daily Camera writing it about joints for stressed out recreational users who may have lost their stashes in the flooding. I can imagine a lot of people whose homes have been devastated by the floods in Boulder and whose kids' schools might have been flooded and ruined in Boulder, thinking, wait a minute, you think giving away free joints is going to help Boulder more than raising $130 million in taxes, some of which will be earmarked to fix and build schools like the ones that would be damaged in Boulder, and the rest would be distributed to local governments, some of which might go to Boulder and help them to rebuild after a flood? That seems to me a little bit shaky reasoning. So, I worry again how this is going to look. I'm not unsympathetic to the idea that perhaps these AA taxes might be taxing marijuana too much. But when the Colorado State University studied this, they found out that even as the result of these taxes, marijuana might cost $185 an ounce. And I know most of the people listening to my voice throughout the United States and the world would love a $185 ounce. Even the people in Washington state who are looking at a 25, 25, 25 taxation scheme, plus an additional 8 or 9% in local taxes, and looking at the potential of $17 a gram weed, although I don't believe it's ever going to get that high, would love $185 an ounce. So we shouldn't look as if we're so in opposition to the taxes we promised to these voters. It's a tough row to hoe, I understand. Don't want to overtax us. We don't want to create taxes so high that people return back to the black market that we promised we'd get rid of. But this is a sensitive topic. We should think more about this. We got Bacon Dan on the line. We will be back with him in our Roots Monday tune right after this. Smoke him if you got him.
If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Fun, fun, fun.
Mm. Don't let him down, Fox.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, 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 no. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Just like that, baby. Don't stop. I like it. You like it, baby? Yeah.
No, no, sugar won't do it.
Feels good, right?
No. Right.
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky, rollery, rollery,
rollery. Don't let him down.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Welcome back, everybody, to Roots Monday. And we're switching the schedules around a little bit in anticipation of our October lineup changes. And that means we've got a new music editor on Tuesday. Electric Bob will be joining us next week as far as giving us some new Tuesday electronic type music. And that means our good friend Bacon Dan now shifts to my old job, the Roots Monday music editor. Bacon Dan's on the line with us. How you doing, Dan?
Oh, I'm doing very good, Ross. And the first day of the fall, and in Portland, that can mean only one thing. It's raining.
That's right. The rain has begun and will end sometime around May.
Yes.
But we love it because, hey, you know me, I work in a windowless basement. So what difference does it make to me, right?
Exactly.
Now, I didn't know for sure whether we'd get you on for this Roots Monday or for the next Roots Monday, so I went and pulled out a Louis Armstrong tune. But you know what? I'm going to save that, because coming up next week on Monday night, we will have a return to the new Viper Hour. So I'll save my Louis Armstrong tunes for there. And in the meantime, we'll turn things over to Bacon Dan, who's got something else for us for our Roots Monday. What you got?
All right. Well, this is from somebody who's so very well known in the marijuana community and here at 420 Radio, with Hank III, also known as Hank Williams III. This album called Straight to Hell, I actually got this album when I was a program director in college at our local radio station. And many people know this song from the documentary, The Wild and Wonderful White to West Virginia.
Tells
the story of D. Ray White and Jessica White, the last of the Mountain Steppers. It's just a really great song, and it kind of fits with the weather today. It's a little darker, it's a little bit throwback for Hank, but I just absolutely love it, and I think you're going to love it too.
All right. I remember that that show, The Whites of West Virginia. If you get to catch that on one of your cable outlets, check it out. It's a good tune, good song, good documentary. Here he is, Hank III with D. Ray White. See you later, Dan.
That's fair.
Way down in West Virginia, there's some people who are one of a kind. They don't need nothing from nobody, 'cause they're already doing fine. You got Pastel Atkins hunching, and Mamie's raising hell. The legend of D-Ray White will never die like a rebel yell. And old Jess goes dancing in his daddy's shoes. Yeah, old Hassel's still hunching out them Boone County blues. And old Mamie, you know she's done some time in jail. The legend of D-Ray White will never die like a rebel,
the third. Tonight we revel in the hilarity of acquiring cannabis when miscommunication occurs between the cannabis delivery service and the consumer. The Royal Shakespearean Cannabis Theatre Company presents the classic David's Not Present piece, made famous by Richard Merrin and Thomas Chong. Enjoy.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David. Pray grant me immediate passage, good sir. I come bearing a package of great import.
Hark. Who goes there?
It is I, David, as I previously informed you. Make haste in unlatching this portal, for I believe the constable hath cast his visage upon me. I bring you the packet you seek.
'Tis David?
Affirmative, my good man. 'Tis David. Now open this door forthwith.
David's not present.
For Cannabis Shakespearean Theatre, I'm...
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at norml.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL. We'll be right back.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everybody. Half past the hour, and we've been gone on the road for a few weeks and missed our regular doses of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch. So plenty of science to get to. Dr. Mitch is waiting. How you doing, Doctor?
Oh, having a superb time.
It's fall officially now. I imagine you must be having some colorful changing of the leaves up there in upstate New York.
I'm afraid it is hit with a vengeance, so it's also rather cold.
I'll bet it's rather cold. All right. Well, we got a whole bunch of stories that have piled up here in the science desk at 420 Radio that I wanted to get your take on. Before I start, though, I wonder if you have anything new for us in cannabis science.
So my student Mallory Laughlin has a paper coming out in the journal Substance Use and Misuse, basically looking at subtypes of ADHD and which ones are sort of more likely to respond to cannabis. We didn't get to administer cannabis in the lab, but we did get folks' reports. And it seems like folks with the more hyperactive, impulsive subtype are the ones who are getting more relief from the plant and more likely to use it, whereas the stereotypical inattentive type, the folks who really can't focus, don't seem to be the ones who are benefiting as much or turning to the plant as much.
Are there any theories as to why marijuana may seem to help the impulse control and not so much the attention?
I think in part because we do see a lot of THC receptors in that sort of frontal lobe area where that might be important. And there is this kind of hypofrontality hypothesis about ADHD where, in part, perhaps why some of them respond to stimulants, too, is that there isn't enough arousal in that area. And so cannabis or other substances and exercise, which also seems to help the ADHD, may be the way to get that area more aroused and then get some of those symptoms to get under control.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting you bring up exercise because that was one of the studies I wanted to get to. Maya Salovitz, who always does some extraordinary writing on the cannabis issue out at Time magazine, wrote about this headline was "One Toke, Many Hits. Exercise could trigger additional high for cannabis users." And it was a study out of the Journal of Drug and Alcohol Dependence that found that high levels of THC were higher by an average of 15% immediately after exercise. Did you see this study, and what conclusions should we draw from it?
Yeah, I mean, I love Maya, and I think it's so sweet that she was willing to cover this, and I'm glad this is actually getting out there. The basically, the folks who were in this study would ride this exercise bike and then have their THC measured in their blood subsequent to that ride. And this was, you know, blood sample THC, too, not some indirect urinary measure or anything like that. And we do see an average of 15%, but one of the participants actually went up over 40% on one of the metabolites of THC. So I mean, we're seeing some intriguing and, I think, kind of interesting findings. What's curious is we don't get a big measure of subjective high here, in part because it may be kind of confounded with other endorphins that are released in exercise. But what this suggests to me, at least, is that folks who are driving and, you know, necessarily subject to some THC analyses in some of these outrageous per se laws we've seen proposed may be at a real disadvantage, and I would hate for our cannabis users to not be getting their regular exercise. I also have to confess that someone near and dear to me has suggested that he's more willing to exercise now that he knows this and is actually going to make sure he, you know, keeps his THC levels appropriate.
I know when I read the study, all I could take out of it was fat pot smokers like me ought to just sit on the couch if you got a test coming up.
That's sad but true. And unfortunately, the more adipose tissue you have, the bigger this effect is. So, in fact, the correlation was over 0.5, that the percentage of THC change from pre to post exercise with your body mass. So,
and this is just exercise burning fat cells that have THC in them?
It's sad but true, but it seems like that's the most parsimonious explanation.
Hmm. All right. Well, another study that came up in the news, and we reported on this just this morning, on no detectable association between the frequency of marijuana use and the utilization of health care services or health status. This was in a Journal of General Internal Medicine, and it seems to give lie to that prohibitionist talking point that if we legalize marijuana, there'll be this, all these health care costs we have to deal with.
What's funny is, I mean, we've seen some of this in the economics literature from the early 90s, too, that these folks aren't missing more days of work. They're not ending up in, you know, any other kinds of obvious indices of what could be a problem related to health. And some of the old Kaiser data suggested that unless you're going to go really nuts about modest increases in respiratory symptoms, there's really nothing to point to. And that was those data were gathered long before we had vaporizers available and around. So I really feel like this is hammering that message home that regular cannabis use is not creating health effects that are going to have any inordinate costs.
As I thought about this subject and the numbers surrounding it, after talking to you for years now, I'm always thinking of confounders, things that might mess up the data. And I got to thinking that, you know, I know a lot of people that use cannabis as medicine because they just can't afford health care. And could that be confounding this data a little bit, that the people who are more prevalent to use cannabis just wouldn't be prevalent to use health care in the first place?
Well, so when these data were published, they tried to have some indirect measures of socioeconomic status, but they didn't actually ask about your health insurance. So that might be a contributor as far as that's concerned. But I also feel like in some ways the other end also gets weighed in there. So people who are already medical users are going to be reporting a lot of health care use, and then that might sort of sway the averages in the other direction. Years ago, Tom Denson and I showed that there was no link between cannabis use and depression as long as you took the folks who were medical users out, as long as, you know, people with cancer and AIDS and things like that who would be depressed, understandably, weren't in the data. And so I feel like those two sides may both be pulling things in opposite directions, and that, a further study with a closer look at what kind of insurance people had and what kind of health care they used might be very helpful.
I'm glad you kind of mentioned in passing that cancer is depressing. Because a lot of what we get from these prohibitionists is, gosh, we need to take the high out of this medical marijuana stuff. It might have benefits, but we got to take the high out. And that kind of leads me to one of our questions from our chat room. And we take our live questions here in our chat room at Ustream, or you can call in live on the number on the screen. But a normal lover wants to know, what direct health benefits does THC alone have, if any? Because, you know, they're touting CBD now, but what are the direct health benefits of THC all on its own?
Well, so we have seen THC alter cancer cells in the Petri dish, and then we've got some really vehement, hardcore case studies of folks who claim that THC has altered their cancer. But the impact on insomnia with both THC and cannabidiol is remarkable, really, really helpful for both onset problems with insomnia and the duration of sleep. It seems to help a great deal. We're just learning some of the other antioxidant properties, and it's the kind of thing where we're not going to have the data until people can be more candid about their use when they're talking to their physicians. So we're really not getting a good feel for any of the other effects, but the, you know, anti-nausea is certainly well documented. The interference with vomiting is certainly well documented. And then some of the motion disorders, not necessarily Huntington's, but some of the ones that are more related to small shaking and things like that, we've seen some amazing impact on cerebral palsy symptoms and things like that, and that seems to be very much THC mediated.
And if you've got cancer and are getting a little depressed, it'll get you high.
Sad but true. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. All right. We have another question. John Thomas wants to know, doctors tell you not to smoke for days after an operation because it retards healing. Does that apply to marijuana as well? Or what about vaporization?
Well, it's interesting because the retardation of healing seems to be related to the constriction of the capillaries that is actually more associated with nicotine and other stimulants than it is with THC. But as you might guess, nobody's really done the formal studies. And then the presence of smoke near stitches, smoke itself, not vapor, can be problematic just because here you're getting, you know, basically miniature ashes stuck in between the stitches. We certainly don't want that. But these are relatively minor effects. But, you know, you certainly don't want to be blowing smoke on anybody's recent injuries.
All right. Midwest Bully Brand shouted right through my headphones to let me know that getting high increases your blood pressure, and it's not a good idea to subject your heart to exercise during a high. Is that true? I mean, what's is there a harm in, I mean, like Arnold Schwarzenegger used to get high and pump iron.
Well, and you know, that's all fine in your 20s, but as we're getting on our side of 40, it does seem to be an issue. And some of the few cardiac-related problems attributed to THC tend to be related to this increase in heart rate, but actually a lowering in blood pressure. So everybody has that story about the person who stood up too fast and got all dizzy and stuff after doing a giant bong hit. That combination can be tough on exercise, and I much prefer the idea of, you know, using your cannabis as your reward for your exercising. So get on the bike and work hard, and then make sure you give yourself that reinforcement.
Unless you're a fat guy who has to pass a test. No, just teasing. Get your exercise, folks. It's good for you. And it's good public relations. It makes us look all fitter, which the studies have shown that we tend to be fitter people, don't we, as cannabis consumers?
Yeah, so Mark Gold had those data to suggest that, in fact, the cannabis consumers are less likely to be obese than folks who don't get to get their pleasure that way, so to speak.
We have Left Wing Larry is asking, could it be that exercise kicks the natural cannabinoid system in the body into action? And that's part of why the THC levels are higher?
That actually would show up in endorphins rather than in THC and THC metabolites itself. So although that is happening as well, and is certainly contributing to the subjective effects of exercise, this study literally went for THC and THC metabolites, so that wouldn't account for these data.
Okay. And Gothic Prophet wants to just reiterate, I've just been informed by a doctor that I should exercise and get high afterwards. Doctor's orders, it says.
Well, I am a psychologist and not a physician, so feel free to run any exercise program by your medical doctor.
That's right. Standard disclaimer. And one last question I had had to do with, we got into a discussion about the hot air that one is inhaling when one is smoking or dabbing, and whether or not bongs, particularly ice bongs, have any health benefit in cooling that air.
Well, so it minimizes the possibility of heat-related damage to the lungs, and that is a real thing. So those horrible metal one-hitters that are kind of the drug war death toy, those little bitty things that everybody uses to hide at concerts and stuff, those are really hard on your lungs because of the heat. The drawback with the bong is that despite THC not being water-soluble, it actually does trap some THC in there, and it creates this illusion that holding your hits is a great idea because the smoke is no longer hot. In fact, THC gets through to the lung tissue right away, so there's no need for these 45-second lung buster hits, and that's actually just giving the smoke a chance to kind of deposit in the lung there when that's completely unnecessary as far as the subjective high is concerned.
All right. And I said one last, but we actually got one in on the chat room just before I pushed the closer. And is a follow-up from Normal Lover, who wanted to know, besides THC, CBN, and CBD, are there any other known majorly beneficial cannabinoids? I know there's plenty out there, but do we know any medical benefits from any of these other cannabinoids?
So we've got cannabidiol, but cannabinol, the other one that's sort of the third most common, is starting to get some more press right now, and may be related to some of the anti-seizure qualities that CBD may also facilitate, but we're just finding out.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Mitch, once again, for joining us here in our cannabis science segment. Get our questions and answers. And for the folks listening, yes, we're doing this live. We do it live every Monday here at the 3 p.m. Pacific hour. So you can get your questions in through our contact form at 420radio.org, by our chat room, or just by calling in the number on the screen right there. Dr. Mitch, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for your time.
Have a great night.
When we come back, we're getting a call from the past. Freddie Farrakh is on the line. Stay tuned.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less.
It's yours?
No, I...
Your mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know. One of the guys was...
Lost the what?
Look, Dad, it's...
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
Stupid. Prohibition. Story.
As a public service, the Russ Belville Show reminds you that smoking marijuana does not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana, and prohibition is always waiting for another victim. Learn your lesson from today's stupid prohibition stories.
With your stupid prohibition stories, I'm old-timey 1920s radio reporter Freddie Farrakh. From the DallasObserver.com. To avoid pot arrests, not kicking a cop in the balls twice is a good idea. Lakita Ransom, age 38, was the passenger in a 2007 Mercury Grand Marquis that rolled by a pair of Dallas police officers working an unrelated traffic stop. The two men stopped, sniffed the air, and looked at each other. Quote, the odor was so strong that both officers commented to one another about the odor of burnt marijuana and pointed out the passing vehicle as the source of the odor, end quote, they wrote in their police report later. The cops pulled the car over and asked Ransom, then the male driver, to exit the vehicle. The man complied, but Ransom refused and began arguing with the officers. When she began rummaging through her purse, her hands out of sight, Officer Aaron Tollerton feared she might be reaching for a weapon and tried to pull her out of the vehicle. In response, Ransom flexed her right leg and kicked Tollerton in the testicles, causing extreme pain. Then, she did it again. In a final act of defiance, she took out her bag of weed and threw it at him. Ransom, who listed her occupation as babysitter, was arrested for assaulting a public servant and marijuana possession. With your stupid I'm Freddie Farrakh with your stupid prohibition story!
Yarr! Thar be pirates here!
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, there's a speech that I've been doing for a few years now that I just wanted to get codified into a rant, and I thought today would be a great day to do that. It's something that was filmed at the Boston Freedom Rally. I call it the Pants Speech, and I've done it at the Seattle Hemp Fest as well. But it's basically my coverage of marijuana as a civil rights issue, and I think this is important because so many times as activists, we get confronted by the mainstream or by people who don't understand why we do what we do and think that it's just about us fighting for the right to get high and not get arrested. Well, in truth, marijuana prohibition affects more of American civil liberties than just about any other issue. And I challenge anyone to think of any other issue that so directly affects so many of our Bill of Rights, what we find in the amendments to the Constitution. In the First Amendment,
That grants us our freedom of speech. Unless you want to advertise your marijuana shop in a newly legal state, they're going to severely restrict that freedom of speech. Freedom of religion, unless you're a Rastafarian, because your sacrament is far too popular. Freedom of the press, except when they want to put High Times magazines behind the counters as if they were porno. Freedom of assembly, unless you're on probation for a pot violation and can't associate with other marijuana users. Freedom to petition the government for a redress of grievances, just like Normal and Americans for Safe Access have done for decades and been denied every step along the way, even when the government's own administrative law judges agree with them. How about our Second Amendment, our right to bear arms? Well, except for the fact that owning even a legal firearm while committing a pot crime, you know, like possession with intent to deliver because, you know, you had your marijuana in two separate baggies, that makes you eligible for enhanced sentences, including life in prison in some states for merely owning a firearm, not using it, just owning it. Now, your Third Amendment right says that the government can't force you to house its soldiers during peacetime. So maybe that hasn't happened, but worse than having a soldier in your house is the electronic tracking devices cops can put on your car in your own driveway without a warrant or your knowledge if they merely suspect that you are a pot grower. How about the Fourth Amendment, your protection against unreasonable search and seizures? Unless a human or a canine cop can smell or pretend to smell marijuana near you. And a requirement for search warrants based on probable cause? Well, that can be some rat fingering you for a grow you don't have, leading to a no-knock SWAT raid that kills your dog and terrifies your children. Your Fifth Amendment grants you the right to due process, just as long as you don't mention your legal state medical marijuana use in a federal court proceeding. And your right against self-incrimination? Yeah, other than the contents of your urine on a drug test that incriminate you for a pot crime. The Sixth Amendment guarantees you a right to a fair and speedy public trial, which can mean waiting over 3 years for a trial without bail if you're the THC Ministry's Roger Christie. And your right to confront your accusers is kind of difficult when your accuser is a canine who claimed your trunk was full of pot. How do you cross-examine a dog? The Seventh Amendment gives you a right to trial by jury in any civil case where there's a controversy over $20 or more. Unless you were thinking about suing your dealer for contaminated weed or for shorting your bag. The Eighth Amendment says there should be no excessive fines or bail unless you were running a medical marijuana dispensary in Southern Oregon and they put your initial bail at $550,000 for someone who has no criminal record whatsoever. And no cruel and unusual punishment? Yeah. Yeah, so long as you don't consider jailing patients without their medical marijuana and allowing them to die in their prison cells as cruel and unusual. The Ninth Amendment of our Constitution gives us the protection of all the rights that aren't enumerated in the Constitution. Now, that was kind of the founders' way of saying, we couldn't write down all the rights people have. And I would think those rights have to include a personal right to farm hemp. Because why wouldn't a bunch of hemp farmers in an agrarian economy that required the planting of hemp and the payment of taxes in hemp, why wouldn't they consider that a natural right that the people retain? Now, they didn't write it in the Constitution because they couldn't even possibly conceive that some future government of their descendants would want to ban it. That's just, who could imagine? The 10th Amendment, that's the state's rights amendment. A lot of people call 10th Amendment when they talk about medical marijuana, because if your state's voted to allow the medical use of marijuana or the operation of marijuana dispensaries, the feds are more than willing to trample over your 10th Amendment state's rights. Now, I've done this speech in the past and just gone through the Bill of Rights, the first 10, but looking through the rest of the amendments, there's five more that are directly impacted by our war on marijuana. The 13th Amendment abolishes slavery or involuntary servitude, but it has this nice little loophole that allows slavery, that allows involuntary servitude, if you're convicted of a marijuana crime. So you can go work for 11 cents an hour for some private prison corporation. The 14th Amendment is the amendment that grants the Equal Protection Clause. That's equal protection, so your civil rights are protected as you travel from state to state. Originally used, after the Civil War, after, civil rights to make sure that black people could be treated the same in every state they went to. That Equal Protection Clause doesn't apply if you're a medical marijuana patient who'd like to use her medicine on a trip out of her state to one of the 45 states that don't recognize her card. A lot of people don't even realize that my Oregon medical marijuana card is no good in Washington State. It's no good in California. It's no good in Colorado. There are only 5 of the 20 medical marijuana states that will recognize the card from another medical marijuana state. And forget about the 30 states that have no recognition of medical marijuana card. That means nothing to Idaho, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, etc. The 15th Amendment. The 15th Amendment protects the right to vote from discrimination based on race or color. This was, of course, to make sure that after Reconstruction, black people in the South could vote, not be discriminated against. So you got to wonder about all those mostly black and mostly Latino people that get busted for drug felonies who then lose their right to vote, some of whom lose their right to vote for life in some of these southern states. And the 19th Amendment? The 19th Amendment established the right to vote for women. Except we got to consider those wives and girlfriends of the drug dealers who knew little to nothing about the crimes. They had nobody to turn on, nobody to snitch on, and they couldn't plea out, and they ended up doing longer felony sentences than the husbands or boyfriends who were dealing the drugs. And of course, those women lose their right to vote in the process. And then the 26th Amendment. The 26th Amendment established the right to vote for 18 to 20-year-olds. Except we all know that the drug war disproportionately targets young people and saddles them with an arrest record, and those with felonies lose their right to vote. That's 15 of the 27 amendments to our Constitution that have been wrecked by the war on marijuana. So don't let anyone tell you that repealing prohibition isn't a civil rights issue. Don't let anyone tell you that what we're doing here day after day, bringing you the news and you going out and telling your friends and your family and contributing to these organizations to end marijuana prohibition and posting to these boards and writing these letters to the editors aren't making a difference, because this is the civil rights issue of our time. It is time for all of us as cannabis consumers to band together and to promote the truth of what we are fighting for. That it's not just a right to get high, because we're getting high already. In fact, for a lot of us, if all it was about was getting high, we'd probably not fight for legalization. We recognize that this isn't just about our right to get high. It's the right for people to be left alone. People who aren't committing crimes, people who aren't harming other people, should be left alone by their government, should be given the freedom to do to themselves and with others that which they choose to do, without fear of reprisal, without stigma, without fines and criminalization and arrest records and all of the attendant collateral damage that happens when someone gets arrested for marijuana. It's destroying our relationships with the police. It's destroying our relationships with our neighborhoods, with each other, and it's time for it to stop. All right, folks, that's all the time we got here. Thanks for joining us here at the Russ Belville Show. And like I say, next week, all sorts of new shows coming back to 420radio.org. Some new stuff coming up on the show as well. Thank you all for sticking with us and supporting us. Good news in the future schedule for my fans in the South. I will be visiting, just got this gig confirmed today, we'll be visiting North Carolina. I think it's Raleigh. I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. But I'll be visiting North Carolina at Camp Cannabis. It's the second weekend of October, and I think that's the 18th and 19th. And then the following week, I'll be in Denver, Colorado at the Drug Policy Alliance Conference. I hope to see all of you there. We got posters, we got stickers, we got all sorts of stuff for you. Check it out at 420radio.org. Become a VIP today. Help support our operation here for independent marijuana legalization talk radio. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time,
this is the Russ Belville Show.
Take care of each other, tokers.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.